across Western New York at 100.9, 103.7, 104.3, 104.9, and 105.5. This is WCJW, Warsaw, Batavia, Arcade, Avon, and Geneseo. Today's favorites and the legends. Western New York's CJ Country.
Welcome to the weekend and the CJ Agribusiness Report. Our Saturday crew is standing by. Tom and Tim, Jeff and Bill, John Block, and more. Grab your coffee and let's get started. Here's Andrew McCray and Farming the Countryside.
This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by ProFarmer. ProFarmer provides key information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to ProFarmer.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. Buying, selling, trading, and the like are a part of life and a part of business. How do you become a better negotiator and work to help both parties in the process? We take a look at some of the keys from an expert in the field as we discuss how we can apply ideas not only at the farm level, but in life and businesses of many kinds. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by ProFarmer. Start making confident marketing decisions with ProFarmer. ProFarmer's condensed style is designed to save you time while giving you the important information you need when making those important marketing decisions. And you'll stay on top of profit opportunities with ProFarmer's mobile sell alerts and easy-to-use mobile app. Get insights on marketing grain in these times of tight margins, plus get insights on the ever-volatile livestock markets. To learn more, just go to ProFarmer.com. The term negotiation can take on many meanings, and for many of us, it may bring thoughts of trying to get the best deal at perhaps the expense of others. Mark Faust is a frequent speaker at top producer conferences and works with many ag industry clients. Part of his work is helping people do a better job at negotiating in business and life. He says that give and take doesn't necessarily need to have a winner and a loser. In fact, there are ways that both sides can win, and taking the time to invest in practices to help you better do that is key. We sat down to talk about some of the advice he shares with a number of clients and audiences on the topic. Mark, we have visited about a number of topics, but we're talking about negotiations, at least to begin with this time. Maybe I should start with this. Talk to me about what negotiations might mean in a farm setting. It can mean a lot of things to a lot of us. Yes. Sometimes it's just beating people up over price. I have a feeling we're going to go beyond that. But what should we be thinking about, maybe top level, about this thing about negotiations?
Well, a few of the tactics or points that I mentioned up front are things like never negotiate a loan. With anything that's of note, a lot of money's on the table. Involve other people on your team, whether it's your spouse or others, but prepare and also make it a process. The best negotiations have several touch points, and they aren't a tit-for-tat splitting of the difference, and that's another rule. Never split the difference. Yet how often have we done that as our ultimate negotiations tactic? Yeah, it's a time management tool, but it leaves a lot of money on the table. Set a negotiations goal with the other party. And that goal really should be about creating value together. That's the end goal.
Whenever we're thinking about these negotiations, give me an example, and it doesn't have to necessarily be specific, but what types of things might we be talking about when we're thinking about an ag operation, farming, and so forth? What kind of negotiations would I be using these techniques in?
Exactly. We think about the equipment and input purchases, and so often we look at it as one thing. That's another point here in negotiations. It's never one thing. The Harvard Negotiations Project started back in 1979. They've been researching negotiations ever since. What they've discovered, and one of the first big discoveries, that the ultimate tool is to create multiple equal offers. They call them MEOs. So even though you think it might be about that commodity or the lease or the purchase, whatever, there's more to it. There are the terms. There is the length of contract. You think of all the different facets of this relationship, whether it's a vendor, a landlord, or whatever, and start building out all those different facets of the relationship, and most of them are going to be negotiable. I've got one grower who's amazing at getting more acre. He gets 50% of all the people he meets with. That's his growth lever, is seeing the people. But as he goes out there, because he also has a tiling business, now he's able to get creative in what he's offering that landowner that nobody else can, that he's competing with. And not just the tiling, but also even how they care and prepare and make the land look and the edges, et cetera. They do some pretty amazing things and creative things. And there are options. Not every landowner wants that, but some are tickled to and are glad about the extra years in the contract and so forth. So in any event, multiple equal offers is the big idea. But how you get there, now that's what we got to talk about a little more in depth here.
So let's talk about that, because there is, I'm betting you're going to tell me, a lot I need to do before I ever perhaps negotiate or meet with this person or really begin to have substantive conversations. Would that be right?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, prepare. Preparation's key. But how do you do that? I've got a preparation sheet that we use for large, strategic negotiations. And let me just walk you through the three phases we go through to get to the MEOs, as we call them. You start with the consequences of no agreement. So think about that. Before you go into a negotiation, think about what will happen if there is no agreement. There are consequences on both sides. And it is critical, in order to uncover where these new points of value that you're going to uncover, to think about those consequences of no agreement. They call them CNAs. And so, again, this was something that was discovered in the negotiations research at Harvard, that when you brainstorm about the hard costs and the soft costs of you not being able to lock in your equipment purchase on the whole new system with, the big equipment dealer. The hard costs might be you're working with older equipment that's breaking down or isn't as productive. And there's a cost there. Write that down. There's soft costs. The frustration of having to go back and do this again with somebody else. Write down those soft costs. Now, there's also benefits. Well, the benefits is, well, you got capital in your back pocket that you wouldn't otherwise have. And list down all those benefits. Now, do the same thing for the other side. Now, after you've done that exercise and you look at that list, there's usually some epiphanies that happen at that point, and all of a sudden you start brainstorming and innovating ideas and options around terms or et cetera that you can use to create those multiple equal offers. But we're not done yet in preparation. The next step is to build out the seller's wish list or trades, as well as the buyer's wish lists and trades. You're going to rank that in order of priority, and you're going to put a percentage weight on each one of your points of issue, like the price. And you want to have a range. So let's say you're willing to pay $1 million to $1.2 million for this item, and you want to get it for the most visionary, you might think. And another thing to do with your goal on your side of the deal, not the goal of the mutual deal, which is creating more value and splitting the value. And your goal, let's say your top item, your major thing is the price. Well, maybe I would set an MVP, the minimum amount that you would be willing to accept, the visionary target that you're going for, and then the primary target. So your visionary target might be, $900,000 for this. Your primary target might be $1 million, but your minimum that you'd settle for is, I'll go as high as 1.2, but then after that I'm walking away. But that's just one item. What about the terms? What about the interest rate? What about, service, et cetera, et cetera? And you build out all your wish lists. Now you do the same thing on the other side. And you put down the range of what you think their range is and what you think their percentage weight and scale is on those things. Now, after looking at that, you're ready to do the main step in your preparation of the first negotiation discussion you're going to have of probably, several. And what you're building now is the questions list. You're going out to validate what you just created in your estimates of what you think is what they want and what you think you want, because your wants may change as well. And of course, it's needs first and then wants. But after you start to validate with these questions, you'll begin to be able to create value. I'm going to tell a story about a seed company to illustrate the point. I told the CFO and CEO, guys, we got to block off at least three sessions. You're going to negotiate with one of the world's largest companies and securing your contract on traits over the next so many years. There's a lot at stake here. Let's block off three 90-minute planning sessions minimally right now because this is coming up so quickly. And they thought that was a lot. They kind of pushed back on it. Well, you know, what's there to prepare about? Well, I took them through this process, and there were epiphanies all over the place. Long story short, when they were done with that negotiation, the company responded, "You got the best deal in the industry. You were the toughest negotiators. You were the smartest negotiators. You were also, in a way, one of the easier ones to work with because we enjoyed the process. But, damn, you guys got a good deal. We saved well into the seven figures beyond what we thought in regards to that total contract value. We made more money per hour preparing for negotiating that contract than they'll probably ever make in their life. But that's negotiations. Negotiations is the most valuable thing you do in an hour-by-hour investment. But where we drop the ball so often is not preparing.
So, Mark, when you talk about preparing, I know you talk a lot about thinking ahead to the questions you want to ask. How do you become a better question asker than, if you will, when you negotiate?
So here's how you build a great question. First, you write down the question you would love to ask, but you know you could never ask because they would just never answer it. How much max are you willing to pay? You know, that's the question we'd all love to ask and get the answer to. But there are ways you can soften that question, and here's the strategy to build a great question. Soften the question just a little bit. Tell me about, you know, the amount you might be willing to pay. Well, that's a slight, you know, refinement of the question. But after two or three iterations, it begins to evolve a little more. And by the third or fourth iteration of that question, you probably have come upon a much better question. I don't know if I can come up with one here so quick, but something like, so let's kind of talk about the investment. Let's talk about our goals. Have you guys been talking about this much? And I would segue into that question about, you know, do you have a mindset around some sort of number, just so we're not wasting each other's time? Give me a little, ballpark feedback on what you think we're talking about here. And then all of a sudden, you might start to get numerical data from the feedback you start hearing. And there's a great book I would suggest everybody read, Never Split the Difference. He went to the Harvard Negotiation Schools. And
it's a great
school,
book.
And he kicked some butt with those students, didn't he? Because he was a hardened FBI terrorist negotiator who saved lives for a living. And, he points out some of these rules probably more eloquently than anywhere else I've read about never negotiate alone, never split the difference, obviously, preparation, and the quality of your questions. He's also does a great job of establishing rapport.
Okay, then. So how do I better establish rapport in my negotiations?
I'm just going to simplify this and try to get this across in less than a minute. But when you walk into any meeting you have, whether it's an employee you got to fire or decide whether to hire or a big negotiations, intensely focus on that person across from you. Look deep into their eyes, sense what their emotional state of mind is, and adapt your communication style to them. The more you focus on somebody, the more you naturally do that. But when you're looking into their eyes and fully listening, you've already prepared. You don't need to worry about what am I going to say next. You're a lot more relaxed, and in that relaxed state, in focusing on them, in adjusting the pace of your speech to their pace, your volume to their volume, even the way you're sitting to the way they're sitting, proximics, you know, how close do you sit to? Some people need more space. Others kind of like to look in your face. Bottom line, you deepen rapport to a much higher level. Now, that's opening the door to more effective negotiations. That's an important facet. And with a deeper rapport, you can ask tough questions. Now, again, we've softened these questions through version 4.0 is where you want to get to minimally with all the tough questions. There are softeners like, one of them is, it seems like. So as you're listening, as you're gathering this information, using that segue of those that phrase, what seems like you're saying and then just getting quiet. You didn't even ask a question. They might start filling in the dead air there. And right there is a huge tactic. You know, great questions, having rapport, being relaxed and calm, and being silent. And just letting the silence be filled with their information.
We focus some on high-level, big business types of negotiations. But I also know that you talk a lot about simply talking with our family members about family-run businesses and how we overcome some of the difficult challenges within those businesses. So I'd be interested in what you have to say about some of those types of things.
I had people come up after our session yesterday and talk about, oh, I've got one with my, you know, uncles and grandpa and dad and brothers and you know, how about this negotiation? I said, guys, treat it like the negotiation that we just went through. Build out your CNAs. Build out the wish list and trades and take your time. I mean, you could take a year to do this, and over lunch once a week, just slowly advance it, being patient. And odds are you can save the relationship and you can and create new value.
Let's get into that business strategy for a moment then. What are some of the keys I need to keep in mind?
A lot of the best breakthroughs in negotiations come through breakthroughs in your business's strategy. Now, let's define strategy real simply. You know, there's classic definitions like, you know, strategy has to do with the decisions that determine the nature and direction of a business. Well, let me just boil it down to three words: vision, focus, and divergence. And what I mean by each of those is you have a vision for your business and the theory of its potential. And that theory of its potential, from where it is and where you think it might be able to go. So vision, focus. Every company, every business, every organization, profit, nonprofit, has one singular, what I call, primary source of leverage. And you can read about it in my book, High Growth Levers. But that PSL means that if you focus on innovating that area, you'll get a higher return than anywhere else. You might have a unique selling methodology. You might have a unique product. You might have a unique market or marketplace or customer type. But whatever it is, you have a primary source of leverage. As you identify that, there's areas in there that are going to lead to negotiations with some resource or customer or vendor. In fact, Michael Porter, the strategy guy of Harvard Business School, has an analysis where he goes through what he calls the five forces. And I think there's a couple others, so I call them the seven pressures in my book, High Growth Levers. But you want to innovate your relationships with employees, with your IP, your intellectual property, your vendors. But let's just look at vendors. So the tactic, as I mentioned, bring your vendors in and have innovation sessions. But think about how could we create defensible competitive advantage with our vendors that causes problems or you know, improves our effectiveness against competition. And it's those little areas of innovation in your strategy that ultimately usually lead to having some significant strategic negotiations with alliances that we all have in our businesses. Finally, divergence. You know, when you identify that point of focus and that primary source of leverage and other things in your business that are germane and high-level strategic issues, think about how to be totally different. How do you take a hard right turn or a hard left turn from the marketplace and others, from other vendor relationships or other employee relationships and cultures? And all of a sudden, start to truly become divergent and distinctive in creative and innovative ways, you're innovating the business.
One of the things I've heard you discuss when it comes to strategy is better defining my business. That you say we have to really think about what we do and how to best strategize to do that work.
You see these, a multiple of businesses under an umbrella, and naturally you've started to synergize. You know, that's why you got into trucking, you know, because it's a synergy, and now you've got another business. Now run it like a business, but it has a different strategy. In fact, there was one ag retailer we worked with, and they tripled their nine-figure revenue in just a few years by mainly becoming more strategic. And what we figured out is we had seven businesses there. We didn't have one. But these were seven different units that deserved a separate P&L. And so we got a CFO to make that happen. And as we start to strategize and build the strategies of each of these, you know, there was the consulting business, which was service-focused. And how do we take service, you know, and that was the primary source of leverage for the consulting business. And so how did we become world-class, not distinctive, not just competitive, not just distinctive, but breakthrough in our service if that's going to be our strategy? So we had things like return all calls within 5 minutes. Well, most salespeople and consultants can't do that, but you can have rolling phone switches turned on your phone systems, and all of a sudden people are following up for every customer call you get within 5 minutes. What does that do to customer impression? Even though you're still going to follow up the same time, you know, you would have anyway. So we built breakthrough strategy innovations in each of the business. One of them was the trucking business. Now, that's a totally different primary source of leverage. That's what we call a capacity-driven type of business. And the main thing is filling up the capacity. And it sounds illogical, but sometimes you can make more money selling empty capacity at a loss than not. I'll give you an example of a printing company we saved, fifth-generation printing company, about to go out of business, $20 million, 100 employees, not, you know, breaking even, meaning they're going to be out of business in a few years. And we were able to, within 6 weeks, through an innovation process of just six guys from the three shifts, come up with $600,000 of innovations. But one of the biggest ones was when we realized there was no line on the five printing lines and the four binding lines that was full, more than 65% full. So we had a lot of empty capacity. And I said, right now, guys, we are a capacity-driven business. This has got to be our focus. We can empower our salespeople as a marketing expense to sell printing on stock that we have in stock that is going to go bad, and, you know, we might as well give it away practically, but do it, you know, strategically. Let's go to non-customers who we haven't worked with in the last 2 years. Let's give them an irresistible offer on stuff that's going rotten in our empty space, and it's a one-shot deal, and they got, you know, so many hours to answer. And, of course, the CFO fought that like crazy. He says, you're going to turn our sales guys into, price whores, et cetera. And in reality, we saved the company. We increased profitability by over $2 million. And that tactic was critical to getting them up to capacity. We were selling at a loss in those cases. But that investment, it increased profitability, but that investment also bought new customers and locked them in. Because they did have a quality in their production. And we shifted gears and we changed the strategy. Strategy must be sentient. In other words, you've got to adjust. There was no strategy 30 days into COVID that was still valid. And there were people that didn't change their strategy for a year, but most of them went out of business. So the point is you've got to be sentient with your strategy. And in this case, at the printing company, we shifted gears from a capacity-driven primary source of leverage to a market-focused-driven primary source of leverage. We focused on the medical text, the cookbook text, the ones that demanded the highest quality printing in the world and had much higher margins. And as we shifted gears to there, things got very sexy with profits.
Where do we go wrong most often? If there's one thing that you could say, hey, you know, negotiations are so much, but just keep this in mind, top level, what would it be?
That's a great question. And I would say, to just sum it up, in negotiations, it's a little bit of our fear and trepidation. Number two, going in it alone. We heard from Lon Fromm yesterday how he doesn't do the negotiations. He has his 16 guys around the table kind of do it together. And they negotiate as a team, and they get killer deals, you know. And so never negotiating alone. And, you know, being just – we go wrong by not preparing and not building the questions. When you build a questioning vocabulary, you are building one of the most profitable business tools you'll ever create. And that's kind of the crux of negotiations and what leads to those multiple equal offers in creating and splitting value, not the difference.
Thanks for joining me on this week's show. Remember, you can follow Farming the Countryside and our daily show, American Countryside, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type in Farming the Countryside or American Countryside to find those pages. You can also get updates from both of these shows by following me on LinkedIn, if that's your preferred social media platform. And if you miss one of these shows, you can find past shows in a variety of ways at farmingthecountryside.com under the Listen tab, or just go to your favorite podcast platform to find other shows from Farming the Countryside as well. I appreciate you joining me this week. I'm Andrew McCray. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. This edition of Farming the Countryside has been brought to you by ProFarmer. ProFarmer provides key information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to ProFarmer.com.
Standing by is Tom and Tim with the Ag Radio Net Farm News. When we return, it's Agriculture Today with Tony St. James in just a moment.
Calmin, C-A-L-M-I-N, is a great triple play for dairy farmers and their nutritionists to use. Research shows Calmin neutralizes over twice as much acid as sodium bicarbonate. Research also shows Calmin provides the highest rumen available calcium. And finally, research shows Calmin has the highest rumen available magnesium. Calmin, the economical triple play of dairy cattle nutrition.
Triple play? Unbelievable!
Ask your nutritionist or feed dealer to put Calmin in your dry and lactating cow rations today. Give us a call at 1-866-737-6273 or find us on the web at feedbricksusa.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
U.S. Secretary of Ag Brooke Rollins used her remarks at the Ag Outlook Forum in Kansas City to unveil a five-point plan aimed at easing cost pressures and expanding opportunities for American farmers. Rollins noted input costs remain stubbornly high compared with 2020, fertilizer up 37%, fuel up 32%, and interest expenses up 73%. Labor costs have climbed 47%, driven largely by the H-2A program's wage structure. Plan includes tighter scrutiny of supply chains under a new agreement with the Department of Justice, reforms to H-2A wage setting, and expanded support through the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program, or ECAP, which has already delivered $8 billion in aid. Rollins also announced the release of the program's remaining $2 billion in payments and additional international food assistance purchases, totaling $480 million. Trade promotion funding will be accelerated with $285 million, launching the America First Trade Promotion Program October 2nd. Rollins emphasized that new market expansion and disaster assistance remain central to stabilizing the farm economy. Well, USDA's quarterly hogs and pigs report shows domestic hog herd slipping again with 74.5 million head as of September 1st. It's down 1% from a year earlier. Breeding herd dropping 2% to 5.93 million head, and the market hog inventory of 68.5 million also off 1%. June through August pig crop falling 3% from 2024, now at 34.1 million head even, as pig save per litter inched higher to 11.82. U.S. red meat production fell sharply in August with total output 4.15 billion pounds. It's down 10% from a year earlier. Beef production dropping 12% to 2.02 billion pounds as cattle slaughter fell to 2.33 million head. That's 14% below last year. Heavier carcass weights, averaging 1,413 pounds, only partially offsetting the decline. Now, veal production hit an all-time low at 1.9 million pounds. That's 38% under last year, with calf slaughter down 45% to just 9,400 head. Pork production totaling 2.12 billion pounds, down 8%. Hog slaughter slipping 7% to 10.1 million head. Well, USDA's annual land value report shows U.S. farm real estate values climbing again in 2025, reflecting strong demand for farmland despite tighter farm margins. Average value of land and buildings on farms rose to $4,350 per acre. That's a $180 increase from 2024, up 4.3% year over year. Cropland averaged $5,830 per acre. That's a 4.7% increase, while pasture land averaged $1,920 per acre, up 4.9%. It's Agriculture Today.
Attention to those of you out there that want to keep your work-from-home lifestyle hassle-free. You know, when you work from home, sometimes you're a one-man show. That even means your own IT department. But what do you do if you're not IT savvy? Call My Computer Works. Let them be your IT department. And they're based right here in the United States. Call My Computer Works right now. Save $75 off your membership. Protect your computer from viruses, ransomware, and keep it running in tip-top shape so you can run your career and your business in tip-top shape. Let them do what they do best, which is keep your computer running perfectly. And you do what you do best, which is run your business, your life, and your career. Call right now and save $75 off your membership. 800-492-8172. 800-492-8172. 800-492-8172. That's 800-492-8172.
More of today's favorites and the legends headed your way at 6. But for now, it's more of the news and information that farmers and producers of CJ Country can use. When our CJ Agribusiness Report returns, it's the AgRadioNet Farm News with Tom Cassidy and Tim Slezarczyk. Stay tuned.
It's Farm Safety Week at CJ Country, and P&D Equipment Sales want to remind farmers to conduct regular equipment inspections. Prevent farm-related injuries by finding problems and hazards and correcting them before someone gets hurt. Dairy farmers rely on P&D Equipment Sales for Superstall mattresses, Mirafont and Ritchie waterers, Schaefer fans, heavy-duty curtain wall systems, silage inoculant, and bunk covers. They also have freestall loops, headlocks, gates, Skeller-Up footwear, and more. P&D Equipment Sales, Brookville Road in Alexander, 343-2394.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News. I'm Tom Cassidy with Tim Slezarczyk.
Cheese prices have been precarious over the last couple of weeks, but the biggest meltdown has been in the butter market. CME butter has plummeted more than 20 cents over the last couple of weeks, now at its lowest price in nearly 4 years. Cold storage report showed inventories were not burdensome as of July 31st, but that butter meltdown has been a challenge. Recent commentary from USDA's Dairy Market News says stocks are starting to pile up, with U.S. butter the cheapest in the world by far. Exports remain strong, but the U.S. dairy cows are simply cranking out too much high-fat milk, especially those in the central region where August temperatures have been unusually mild. The cream market is heavy, and it's dragging down butter prices. The collapse in butter and steady declines in non-fat dry milk have deflated Class 4 market for the second week in a row. Most contracts have lost significantly. Both September and October Class 4 have finished less than $17.50. On the Class 3 side of the ledger, there were some slight increases. Some producers are facing the strain of steep discounts. Most producers can make the prices work because feed costs are low and beef incomes keep climbing. CME live cattle and feeder cattle futures have reached strong points, not highs last week, but near all times, and we're still at those levels. Dairy producers are depositing pretty fat checks from the sale of cull cows and beef calves that are larger than ever before. For dairies that use an equal mix of sex semen for dairy heifer production and beef semen for crossbred calves, January through August cull cow and beef calf sales have added roughly $3 a hundredweight to their bottom line.
Quality feed, margins, productivity.
Even your herd knows what's important to you. All dairy farmers, our top priority at John Deere is keeping your animals healthy and productive. With our technology, you can reduce overlaps, track nutrient content of your forage, and reduce downtime. We have the solutions to help feed and care for your herd. To learn more, talk to your local John Deere dealer today.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
Dairy exports pulled back somewhat from June's major surge, but still amounted to 17.8% of U.S. domestic milk solids production, the highest share, as well as the highest actual solids volume since March of 2023. More than two-thirds of the volume increase over the January through May average came from higher exports of skim milk powder, lactose, whey protein concentrates, and butter. U.S. dairy imports have remained below the equivalent of 4% of domestic milk solids production every month through July this year, averaging 3.6%. Those monthly percentages last above 4% on a somewhat sustained basis back in early 2009. Among the products contributing more than half of both the imported milk solids volume as well as that volume share of domestic production, milk protein concentrate, casein, butter, and cheese. U.S. cheddar cheese production continued to rise at a rapid rate, 8.4% year-over-year during that May to July period, with butter running a second close among major dairy product categories, production of butter up 8.1% during that same period. Following several periods during which year-over-year production was mostly lower, production of most dry skim milk ingredient products increased during the most recent three-month period, finally showing evidence of the strong growth in U.S. milk production. The major exception with export-focused skim milk powder, which actually dropped by almost 13%.
And now another episode of One Soil to Live.
I just can't let you keep treating it like dirt, Claude.
Well, you know I don't mean to, Samantha. It's just
It's just what? You don't know it's alive? Well, it is alive. And if you want to get the most out of it, you'll follow these four principles to keep it healthy and functioning.
All right, Samantha. I'm listening.
First, keep it covered and keep living roots in it throughout the year with diverse plants and rotations. And finally, disturb it as little as possible.
And if I do as you say, Samantha?
If you do, Claude, I have a feeling it'll be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
There's an amazing amount of life in healthy soil. More importantly, that life can help make our nation's farms more productive, profitable, and resilient. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and learn more about the basics and benefits of soil health. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
It pays to plan your ag taxes throughout the year to pay less at the end of the year. Call the Ag Tax Specialists at Farm Credit East. Made in agriculture.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News, a voice for farmers of the Northeast.
In honor of Farm Safety Week, Batavia Starter reminds drivers to watch for slow-moving tractors and farm equipment. Those farmers are working hard to provide delicious food for our families. Since 1989, Batavia Starter has been rebuilding and repairing your classic and antique starters and generators, as well as your ag and heavy equipment, cars and trucks, ATVs, and lawn and garden equipment. And offers specialty powder coating, too. Batavia Starter, 344-3285. Open Monday through Friday from 8 to 4:30.
For four generations, more residents have relied on Ed Hume Incorporated for all their building and renovating needs. Whether it's construction, site development, home improvement, blacktop, ponds, or other projects, their team is up for any challenge in front of them. Ed Hume Construction has two gravel pits in Wyoming County loaded with screened and crushed gravel, topsoil, scalpings, millings, stone products, and more. There isn't a job too big to handle. Call 786-5880 to see what else Ed Hume can do for you. Or stop in 17 East Buffalo Street in Warsaw.
Ever miss a farm show or want to hear something again? We keep a week's worth waiting for you on our webpage. Go to WCJW.com, then click on the Agribusiness tab to find the past seven shows. You're welcome. We're going to step aside for a message or two. Then it's Bill Baker and Dairy Rewind.
In honor of Farm Safety and Health Week, Perry Vet Clinic reminds farmers to store farm chemicals where kids and animals can't get to them. Also, make a list of your chemicals for firefighters in case of a fire. Perry Vet Clinic has worked with dairy producers in CJ Country for over 100 years. They're honored that clients choose one of Perry Vet's four locations in Perry, Livonia, Yorkshire, and Batavia to care for their animals. Call Perry Vet at 237-5550 to find out how they can care for your animal, big or small.
Whether you've got 100 acres to mow or just some brush out back, show Brush who's boss. Wood's line of rotary cutters match a variety of tractors and applications so you can start clearing tall grass or tough brush right away with high lift blades and deeper decks for a better overall cut quality. You won't find any other rotary cutters that keep your land in line like Wood's. Stop in to Larry Romance and Son at Arcade, Sheridan, and Woodhall to find the right Wood's rotary cutter for your next job.
Hendrickson's Hoof Trimming reminds you that it's National Farm Safety Week. Drivers, it's harvest time, so keep an eye out for slow-moving farm vehicles on the road. Did you know that a well-run foot bath can be cost-effective as well as reduce lameness? A healthy cow is a profitable cow. Hendrickson's Hoof Trimming has been in business for over 40 years. They look forward to serving you. For the health of your herd, contact Zane Hendrickson at Hendrickson's Hoof Trimming at 269-9587. That's 269-9587.
It's Farm Safety Week at CJ Country, and we want to remind those operating farm equipment on rural roadways to look out for oncoming vehicles while making wide turns. Also, be sure to keep equipment at least 20 feet from overhead power lines and pole supporting wires. This farm safety tip is brought to you by Lamb Farms of Oakfield, striving to economically produce high-quality milk. They offer good working conditions for their 100 full and part-time employees and offer comfort to their cows. Lamb Farms, Albion Road in Oakfield, 948-5777 or visit lambfarmsinc.net.
This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Milky Monday.
Kara Murphy, Market Intelligence Manager at High Ground Dairy in Chicago. Kara, the July U.S. dairy supply and utilization report had some interesting takeaways last week. One of them was on cheese. Explain.
Yeah, so our cheese utilization, even though exports have been up this year quite a bit as the U.S. price disparity against the rest of the world has been really advantageous for us, domestic utilization was down. And this is really important given that domestic utilization accounts for over 90% of our total cheese use. Retail data indicates that, you know, cheese consumption there is doing pretty good, but our food service sector isn't doing super great this year, so that's probably one of the reasons why we think those domestic use figures are down.
What about butter? What's the situation there?
Butter was very interesting. Most of this year, we've seen pretty healthy consumption on stateside. Again, stateside use, it makes up over 90% of total use here, but it's really the butter exports that have come into play. Domestic use was flat in July, but those exports continue to show super robust levels, all-time highs. U.S. butter is incredibly cheap compared to other markets, especially with the CME spot price being under $2.
Tuesday.
With Melissa Pluckelman, outreach specialist with the National Farm Medicine Center at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute.
What do you know? What are you doing to keep your children safe? What questions do you have? Are you looking for someone to collaborate with on a project or anything? You know, join us on that online network because really a lot of great information is shared there. And I hope that if even one small tidbit of information stays with parents or with adults, it's just to remember to think about safety each and every day, each and every minute, because at the end of the day, there's nothing better than knowing that our youth and our kids are tucked safe into bed and having those sweet dreams after a long day on the farm.
Wednesday.
Joel Reelman, who is chair of NIAC, tell us a little bit about your farming operation.
Myself and my partners, we operate six separate dairy farms. Collectively, we all milk right around 6,100 cows in total. And all in all, we have to work right around 10,000 acres to feed our cows.
And yet, you are chair of NIAC.
An absolute thrill, a privilege to do this. We have to wear a lot of hats, you know, in our business, but I'm very thankful to wear this hat for NIAC.
How do you recruit, motivate, and retain great people?
We're very much a proponent of promoting from within. If we start with a base that's solid, we can work with those folks and we can train them and provide that the right kind of leadership. They will grow and they will develop. You know, herdsmen, field crew, and farm managers, you know, a lot of them are developed right from the groundwork up. So they are ingrained to our culture and our systems. You know, that's really how we promote ourselves.
Thursday.
So this will be the 28th time that the National Milk Producers Federation and Dairy Management Inc., the National Checkoff Group, have collaborated to put on a meeting for our leaders and others in the industry who have leadership positions, be that in state or national checkoff groups or else in dairy cooperatives. And so this year, Bill, we're going to be meeting outside of Dallas in Arlington, Texas, right across from the Rangers baseball stadium, to talk about some of the balls that we've been handling, so to speak, for dairy in the past year. A big one is going to be on what's happening with nutrition policy.
Feed Form Friday.
And our topic is going to be on impact of weight gain in late lactation dairy cows. And this was written up by Dr. Hernandez at the University of Wisconsin in the July 2025 Journal of Dairy Science. The reason for this study is to ask the question, if cows gain weight in late lactation, what effects would this have in the future of the next lactation of the dairy cow? In this study at Wisconsin, they used 66 multi-paired Holstein cows. These cows were 150 days in gestation. And for our listeners, it takes about 280 days for the calf to be born. So this study would run about 130 days. They looked at two different diets here. So our take-home message is that certainly the last 130 days prior to the dry period is a very important time to make sure cows don't get excessive body weight. Body condition score should be 3 1/4. And certainly we know that if you get too heavy, heavy cows has more metabolic disorders. Well, that completes our program for today. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mike. That's Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday on Dairy Radio Now.
So there's skim milk, a.k.a. fat-free. There's 1% and 2%. Ever wonder why there isn't a 3%? Well, being a nerdy mom, I do. And you know what? There is one. That's right. It's called whole milk. Whole milk only has 3% milk fat, which, when you think about it, and I do, is not a lot of fat at all. And did you know that no matter what cow's milk you prefer, they all have 8 grams of protein? Of course, it is wonderful we have so many alternatives, but many nut and plant-based milk substitutes don't meet the nutritional levels naturally contained in dairy. And I'm not big on thickeners, flavorings, or added sugars. Bottom line, cow's milk is still the gold standard when it comes to nutrition. So sure, I'm a nerdy mom, but I love my cows. I mean, kids, I love my kids.
Milk for nerdy moms and just about everyone. Brought to you by Milk for Health on the Niagara Frontier, the guys and gals with the cows.
Massey Ferguson 1GC Series Subcompact Tractor. These small but mighty machines help you get more done on your property. They're easy to operate for first-time owners and packed with power. Mow, haul, dig, clear brush, all without breaking a sweat. Plus, with a wide array of attachment options, you can work through every season with ease. From summer mowing to winter snow removal, the MF 1GC Series does it all. Learn more at MasseyFerguson.com or visit Kelly's Garage in Perry.
It's Farm Safety Week in CJ Country, and Pierce Milling wants to remind you to watch for slow-moving farm equipment when you're driving. Harvest time can be a dangerous time for our local farmers. Please give them plenty of room. You know Pierce Milling and Delavan for their high-quality, freshly made animal feeds. Did you know that their gift shop is chock-full with wind chimes, flags, gnomes, bird feeders, candy, candles, kids' toys, and more? Stop into Pierce Milling on Church Street in Delavan and learn more. Or call 716-492-2740.
Hartz Insurance reminds you about the large number of farm equipment on the roads for harvest time. Drivers should watch for tractors and other machinery. Keep a safe distance, share the road, and be courteous to our hardworking farmers. The folks at Hartz Insurance are specialists in farm insurance. They work with all size farms, from the smallest to the largest in the region. Visit Hartz Insurance at 3 South Main Street in Perry or call 237-2126. Hartz Insurance, the standard of excellence since 1877.
We'll be back with a check of the forecast after this brief break.
The CJ Weather Check forecast brought to you by Upstate Niagara. Upstate Niagara Cooperative, farmer-owned by 260 family dairy farms, producing top-quality conventional and organic milk at the farm level that leads to award-winning finished dairy products. Bison Dip, Upstate Farms Yogurt, Sour Cream, Cottage Cheese, and Fluid Milk. Home to Intense Milk and their lactose-free Milk for Life. All produced with care for their cows and commitment to their community. Our forecast for today, partly sunny, high of 76. Clearing skies overnight, low down to 54. And sunny skies tomorrow, high up to 78. Degrees.
Burt's Lumber and Perry is your savings place. 6 foot by 8 foot economy stockade fence, just $29.99 a panel. And Burt stocks all the PT posts, hardware, and Benjamin Moore stain to complete the project. Right now is the time to load up on locally produced Dry Creek hardwood pellets, just $3.39 a ton. How about white vinyl siding for just $99 a square? Four other colors available at a slightly higher cost. Discover these deals and more when you stop by Burt's Lumber and Perry. Open 7 days a week, including Sundays, 9 to 1.
It's harvest time in New York. Make sure your equipment is ready to stay in the field with genuine AGCO parts from Java Farm Supply. Their knowledgeable parts specialists are ready to help you find the right agricultural part, from fluids and filters to hoses and fittings to engine and transmission parts and everything in between. Stop at their stores in North Java or Batavia and their online parts store for a wide selection, including Massey Ferguson, Heston, Fendt, Challenger, and more. Java Farm Supply, your one-stop shop for reliable, genuine AGCO parts.
A look into the markets here at the end of the day on Friday, September the 26th. I'm Remington Ricketts, starting with Wall Street and the S&P 500 in the green, 66.43. The Dow up 462.47 and NASDAQ higher as well, 224.84. Bitcoin lower, gold higher, euro higher as well. Over to the energy's futures prices, crude oil West Texas Intermediate, November in the green, 65.36, December 64.80, and January 64.41. Gasoline higher, nat gas mixed, crude oil higher. Switching over to the grains futures prices, starting with corn, December contract 3.75 lower here at the end of the day at 4.22 even. March 4.38 3/4, and May 3.25 lower at 4.48 even. Soybean higher, soybean meal higher, soybean oil lower. Wheat December 7.25 lower, 5.19 3/4. March 5.38 1/4, and wheat May 5.50 1/4. Hard red winter wheat December 6.75 lower, 5.05 1/2. March down as well, 5.26 1/4. Hard red spring wheat December even at the end of the day at 5.51 even. March in the red, 5.63 1/4. Over to the cotton. Starting with the October contract, 12 cents higher, 63.95. December 66.40, and March in the green as well, 68.26. Finishing with the livestock and dairy futures, live cattle October 231.80, December even 234.30, and February slightly higher 236.50. Feeder cattle October 357 even, November 225 higher at 354.47. Lean hogs higher, pork cutout higher, class 3 milk higher.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it, and you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. That's 800-923-9018.
Thanks for listening to the CJ Country Agribusiness Report. Catch it every Monday through Saturday starting at 5 a.m. And stand by for Western New York's Morning Show next on CJ Country.